Okay, this is a class, the title of it is His Banner Over Me is Love. That is what the woman says about the man in Song of Solomon, from chapter 2, verse 4, His Banner Over Me is Love. That's what we want our wives to say about us, right? His Banner Over Me is Love. So this is a class on intimacy. Now, whenever I do a class on intimacy, you know, people think, okay, this will be a class on the sexual relationship. Yep, we're going to talk about it. But intimacy always starts, first of all, my opinion, with intimacy with God.
Amen.
And so I want us to look over in John, the 17th chapter. John 17, this is the prayer that Jesus prays before he goes and he is betrayed and goes to the cross. It's an amazing prayer. You've read it many times. Sometimes you just want to go back and take it verse by verse and just meditate on it. But for our purposes, I am going to start in verse 20. He says, my prayer is not for them alone. He's talking about the immediate disciples. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I want those you have given me to be with me where I am and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. Righteous Father, though the world does not know you, I know you. And they know that you have sent me. I have made you known to them and will continue to make you known in order that the love you have for me may be in them and that I myself may be in them. Jesus is praying for a unity with God that you and I would experience. That comes because he lives within us. That unity with God takes away all need, all want. Whatever happens in life, in this fallen world, will happen, but we're okay. You know why? I don't need people's respect. I don't need things. I don't need for life to go right. I don't need good health. I don't need any of this. I need God. Because one thing's for sure, I am going to die. You are going to die. You cannot, none of us are going to get out of this place alive, right?
No.
We're going to die. So this is, you got it, just a short amount of time. What do you need during that time? What you need is the source of life. The Gospel of John says that in him was life, talking about Jesus, and that life was the light of men. When I learn how to live, I'm okay. I'm able to enjoy things rather than possessively crush them to death because I have this need. I'm free to love my wife. I don't need her to be everything. Oh, you've got to be this or else I'm going to be upset or all of this stuff that enters in there. No, if I am in union with God, I'm okay.
Right.
Now I'm free to give. I'm free to connect. It doesn't have to be, is it just going to, you know, will it work out okay? I'm free. Guys, it sounds like an obvious point. It blows my mind how many times, even in my walk with God, I've tried to walk with God without God. I've tried to be a good person. I've read my Bible. I've prayed. But I was not begging to be in communion with God. I still had my own dreams and things like that. Oh, it happened in the ministry. Oh, I want my ministry to be such and such, but I wanted it to be such and such for me.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that I would be feel successful, so that I would be happy, so that I would be whatever. No, no, no. It became idolatrous. Yeah, it was a trap.
Yeah, easy trap.
Easy trap. And the real issue was, you could ask me any Bible question and I'd give you probably a fairly good answer, because I was reading all the time. I was praying. Who was I praying to? I don't understand how anyone cannot study the Bible every day. Mm-hmm. I don't understand that when I sit down. Mm-hmm. So I'm not against that. Where else are you going to get revelation on how to live?
Mm-hmm.
From your own insight? Well, I'll pray and God will show me. God wants you to think he's important enough to listen to him in his word. All right? So I'm all for that. I'm all for the praying. But why do we do that? We do that we would connect. We do that we would commune. We do that we would walk with God.
Amen.
That is the biggest intimacy of all. You know, when you talk about intimacy, you know, you're talking about, you know, familiar. You're talking about personal. You're talking about private. So, you know, when we talk about intimacy with our wives, we're talking about sexual relationship. You know, no clothing, no hiding, you know, just giving and just meshing. And all of that. But that should start with God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
We are naked before him.
That's right.
Why try and hide anything? You know? We are, and that ought to be the way we want to come. And that, you know, you romance your wife. You want to be, you know, enticed and all that. So, you know, no clothes and things like that. How with God? Naked I come. Here I am. This attitude I have, I don't like it. Please help me to change it. You know, but I don't want to change it, so help me to want to change. I mean, those are the prayers you start having.
Yes.
Because you just don't want to be hidden. You want him to know you, and you want to know him.
Yourself.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting. Paul cited the same reference in the Jewish scriptures in 1 Corinthians. He cited it twice. Or 1 Corinthians, and then again in 2 Corinthians, was from Jeremiah 9. On let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the strong man boast in his strength, let not the rich man boast in his wealth, but let him who boasts boast in this, that he knows and understands me, that I am the Lord.
Amen.
That's got to be your boast. God's given a lot of talent here. And you guys, whatever your talent is, whatever your career, do it to the utmost. Give it 110%, because God gave you that talent and ability. But your boast is that you know and understand him. That type of knowledge comes from an intimacy. That type of intimacy comes from your study of his word, your prayer, your connecting and fellowship, everything that God has talked about. You really pray with all your heart. Your will be done on earth in my life as it is in heaven. Now stop and think about that. There are times I was afraid to pray that. I always heard that was the Lord's Prayer. That's what you teach little kids, right? You know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, a kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth it is in heaven. It just had a nice little poetic cadence to it. But seriously, pray that. As you connect with God, now all of the other aspects of life start falling into place. You know, one reason guys don't enjoy the intimacy sexually with their wives. Oh, they have sex. But as far as it being that connective, that really I know and am being known and, you know, all of that. See, when we fell, sex was created for connection, for unity, and for gratification. Absolutely. When we left God, we started to worship created things rather than the Creator. We dropped the connection, dropped the unity, and just went after gratification.
That's right. Come on. Great point.
And so, are you intimate with your wife? Oh, yeah, we have sex regularly. What if my wife asked your wife, do you feel intimate with your husband? How would she answer that? All of a sudden, it's like, I better have sex with him because that's what he wants. Whatever happened to the connection and unity? You know what I think happened? Is when we sinned against God, we lost that ability. We need God to reestablish, teach us how to be connected and unified.
Amen.
With starting with our wives, basically with the world. But if we're not with Him, asking that, connecting to Him, experiencing intimacy, where do we get it? We don't. So now it's just gratification, man. I need, I'm starting to get horny. I need to go and Deb and I, we have these marriage counseling things, and I try and tell the guy, if you could step out of yourself and sit next to me and listen to this and see what I'm seeing, what would you say? Really? Really? It's like, what's going on? Intimacy with God. First, foremost, always.
Yes.
The water Jesus gives you, you will never thirst. We don't believe that. Now's the time to start believing.
Amen.
I'll be fine no matter what. Now all of a sudden, you've got something to give your wife without, I need my wife, to do this. Okay? So, intimacy with God. Now let's talk about intimacy with our wives. We take the familiar, the personal, the private with our wives. Three things here I want us to talk about. And that's the three things that reason we have the sexual relationship God created that. Number one, connection. Connecting with our wives. This is one of these emergency scriptures that works almost in any situation, but in marriage. I mean, this thing has been quoted more times in more marriage workshops. You know why? It's the parachute, man. When the plane's going down, strap this puppy on and pull that cord, because this will save your life, your soul, everything, okay? James 1, verse 19. Everyone should be what?
Quick
to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Wow. I mean, my gosh. Sheridan, where do I start? And now, guys, start with my relationship with God. I'm really going to just keep open to myself, be consistent. That's great. Now with my wife, where do I start? This is like a trinity of marriage here, all right? Be quick to listen. Slow to speak, slow to become angry. You want a very practical part? Start there. What does it mean to be quick to listen? You listen to understand feelings. That's what you're listening for, is understand feelings. There are times we can just say, well, just change your feelings. You see, people can't change their feelings unless they change their thoughts. And people can't change their thoughts unless they have a plan on where to set their mind. There's so many times we try and deal with our feelings. I'm going to grab this feeling. I'm angry. Someone's going to stop being angry.
Good luck.
Good luck. I'm afraid, so I'm going to stop being afraid. I'm anxious, so I'm going to stop being angry. And what happens? You get more angry, you get more anxious, you get more afraid. And you're going, what is wrong? Because those are just symptoms. They are just the signals. They are not the conditions. Deal with it. In marriages, my gosh, honey, just settle down. No. Listen. Listen. Quick to listen. What is my wife feeling in every conversation? We always love to be, just the facts, all right? And we don't want to talk about feelings as much. A lot of guys don't. I understand that. Some guys do, and they're more emotionally mature because of it. But we've got to learn how to do that. But the thing with our wives, we need to make sure that, look, do I hear anxiety? Do I hear frustration? Or do I hear fear? Those are kind of the three biggest things that you're listening for when your wife's going through something. Anxiety, frustration, or fear. Deb, there were times Deb would, and I would get into it, and, you know, she would be angry. And so that would make me angry. And we'd start ratcheting it up, because it's like, you know what? Okay, you're angry? Well, that makes me angry, and I'll be angry and all that, until one day she said it. She goes, Sheridan, yeah, I'm angry, but the real issue is I'm afraid. And I felt like Saul of Tarsus. I felt like the scales came off my eyes. It's like, that's why. That, okay. And I realized that her anger was when she'd get afraid, she wanted to control the sailors, and couldn't do it. So that's what anger, that's why you get angry, right? You have a blocked goal, a thwarted will, gets angry. When she's afraid, that's what happens. Yeah. So listening to that, what is your wife? Anxiety, frustration, or fear? Also, in building connection, not only the listening part and being slow to speak, slow to become angry, but also the words you use of speaking. Ephesians 4 and verse 29. Let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up, that it may benefit those who listen. No unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. You and I are a mirror to our wives. I was reading an article recently. We've been doing a series of midweeks on kind of based on Dallas Willard's book, Renovation of the Heart. It's been awesome. But I was reading this other magazine as I was getting ready to talk about, you know, transformation of emotions. And it's interesting because in this guy he cited, he was a counselor, a drug addiction counselor, but he cited Eric Erickson, a psychologist, that had talked about that what counselors need to do. There are four basic needs that people need to have met for a sense of well-being: belonging, identity, meaning, and purpose. You read the Bible, that's what God's always been offering people and doing. But that's true. Those are the, you know, belonging, identity, meaning, and purpose. Your words can give your wife a profound and divine sense of well-being in the areas of belonging, in the areas of her identity, in the areas of meaning, and in the areas of purpose, if you choose your words wisely.
Amen.
Your speech or your lack of makes a difference.
Yep.
But Sheridan, what about if I'm really angry? Okay, there's a place for anger. Like I said, conflict is good. We're going to talk about resolving it, but conflict is good. But you've got to be able to express yourself and not just let be without control. Because I tell you what you say sticks.
Yep.
And it makes it really hard. This is now the way she's starting to view herself. And when she starts viewing herself as damaged goods, think about what's going to happen.
Mm.
Study your wife so that you'll know what to say.
Mm.
Just because something's okay with you, she's different than you, right?
Mm.
Different personality. Different things. I love humorous movies. I love to laugh. I have a good time. And that's great. And Deb loves them too. But, you know, there are times when that humor will lead me to be, you know, flippant or sarcastic with her. Sarcasm is always a toxic form of communication. There's never a good time for sarcasm in your marriage. Never.
Amen.
Never. Basically, what sarcasm says is that you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I'm going to put you in your place, woman. I'll do it with these sarcastic comments. And that's exactly the way it comes across. And that's exactly what she takes away from her. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how she begins to feel. Because we should be a mirror to her. But this is what we're saying. Here are some good questions in your speaking. All right? How did that make you feel? What was the best part of your day? What was the most challenging part of your day? Help me understand what you mean. And here's one that helped me a lot. There were times we would get into a conflict, and I wouldn't say anything at first because I was trying to think. You know, I'm trying to get all my ducks in order and just, you know, if I say, how do I express this? But meanwhile, she's by, you know, just hanging there. And she says, Sheridan's silence always is interpreted negative. And she's right. Because there'd be times you sit there thinking, I wish she'd shut up. Obviously, you know, this is ridiculous. I can't believe. You know, you think these things. That's it is. But there are times I'm not thinking that. I'm just trying to get my ducks in a row so I can clearly articulate what I need to. So here's what I do. Is when we're doing that, I say, I tell you what, let me just let you know what I'm thinking here, and then I'll try and put it all in the right order. So you know that. You know, that does amazing for her. Because she knows I'm not just sitting there, you know, thinking all sorts. She knows the old boy's trying to put it together. Let's, you know, give him the time. Letting our wives into our thought process, that is intimate to them. It's amazing. You know, sometimes we're afraid, boy, she'll know how crazy I am. No, that's, she already does. The gig's up. The masquerade's over, all right? We're like the emperor with new clothes. We just don't realize it. So, bottom line, you know, ask those questions and be open like that. That speaking is powerful. And then also with building connection is providing. In Ephesians 5, 25 through 28. Let's go over there real quick. Ephesians 5, 25 through 28.
Come on, Sherry.
Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself.
Amen.
In building connection, we not only listen, we not only speak, but we need to provide. And I'm not just talking about financial things, although that is important, absolutely. Provide there. But I'm talking about providing safety, providing belonging. She belongs here. She needs to understand she is. My life and her life are intertwined together. She belongs with me. I belong with her. We need to provide that sense, whatever that takes. You know your wife, but you need to think. Do you think she feels that sense of belonging? She needs to be provided for as far as taken care of. I think husbands need to ask their wives, say, you know, are you up on your doctor appointments?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when was the last time you had this? When was the last time? Now, why would we do that? Man, you know, we take care of our cars.
Yeah.
We know when there needs to be an oil change. We know when, you know, this needs to be rotated and that. But we just assume, well, she'll make her own doctor's appointment. Great. I'm glad she does that. But why don't you just ask? Why don't you just let her know that, yeah, you're thinking of her. Why? You're providing for her. You want her to take care of herself. You want to make sure. Does she get enough sleep? Ask her, what needs to change your schedule so she can get enough sleep? What needs to happen? There may be things you have to give up to make sure your wife gets enough sleep. Well, you know, she's up with the kids and does it. You get up with the kids. You do that. You take turns. Do whatever. But here's the point. The fact that it is you wanting to know that she is getting enough sleep, that's providing. God created the human body to work in a certain way. Sleep was a part of it. Okay? There was an old quote we used to have many years ago that the world is run by tired men. The problem, have you seen the world lately? I used to quote that all the time. It was like, wait, let me just stop and think about it for a second. Okay. No wonder, all right? No, we need our sleep. And also, she just needs her rest. Rest in a Sabbath way. What's recreational for her? What would she like to do? What can you provide? And she may just say, I just want to be with you. Great. Let's go out. Let's do something. But it's you that's coming up with that. It's you that's saying, why? Because you're looking at yourself, I want to be the provider.
Yep.
And again, I'm not just talking about financial. I'm talking about emotionally. And it comes, you take that initiative. What's going to happen? She's going to feel connected. She's going to feel connected. She's going to feel that this is not just a partnership. This is not just a parenting arrangement. This is not just companionship. I just don't want to be myself. Well, I'm connected to this person. That's intimacy. That's what real God. How would you like it if God just treated you like a business partner? He's not really connected. You just sign a little contract. You do this. He'll, you know. I mean, what would heaven be like? You see, God is heaven. If we're not connected to him, there's nothing. There's nothing. Let's do that. So we got connection, all right? Unity. Unity. There's the obvious thing about unity, being together, you know, daily and duties. So however you but think about it, what is it in our life and our schedule that really shows a togetherness here? What's allowed? You know, what do we do and create that? Spending time together is obviously of paramount importance. Whatever you've got to do, there's got to be that daily touch. I know some days maybe it's a little crazier than others, but as a general rule, there's a sense of we are together. We are not just sharing a house or a bed. We're together. That is so important, because how can there be unity if there's no togetherness? You can write down these references, but Proverbs 21, verse 5, the importance of planning. Sometimes couples end up feeling just estranged and all that. They never sit down and plan together. So what happens, they individually plan, and they end up planning out individual lives. Sit down every week, decide a time, you're going to plan together. What's happening this week? What's happening this month? Just so we know together. How many times did Deb and I not do that, and I planned something, she planned something, and then we couldn't work things out? It's like, well, why'd you do that? Well, why'd you do that? I want to build unity with my wife. We're going to have consistent planning. And last thing under unity is resolving conflict. Ephesians 4:25-27, it talks about, you know, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Guys, you've got to have conflict. There is nothing wrong with anger in and of itself. Conflict is essential. Unresolved conflict is sinful. That's the difference. Unresolved anger is sinful. When it just lingers on, goes on, boom. It went from necessary, important, to now it's deadly. And that's it. So don't shy away from conflict, but don't let conflicts go on. If you need to get help, get help. That's what the church is here for.
Right.
Everyone has to do that. Everybody. There's no shame in it. Man, we're just fighting all the time. Okay, well, let's talk. Let's do it, but don't accept that. Don't just say, something's going on here. To build unity, you've got to have conflict because that keeps things from being superficial. But you've got to resolve the conflict.
Amen.
And I love how God says you got a day to do it. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. So you got the daytime. Go for it, man. Let's resolve this quick. That's unity. The last thing is gratification. In Proverbs, the 5th chapter, I forgot I just had my New Testament, so I'm looking toward the front for Proverbs, and it's actually added in the back here. So, okay, verse 15, drink water from your own cistern, running water from your own well. Should your springs overflow in the streets, your streams of water in the public squares? Let them be yours alone, never to be shared with strangers. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. Amen. A loving doe, a graceful deer, may her breast satisfy you always. May you ever be captivated by her love. Why be captivated, my son, by an adulteress? Why embrace the bosom of another man's wife? The reason they went after the adultery and all that is because connection was gone, unity was gone, that was all about gratification. And some guy thought like, well, let me try that. Let me try the other sister, that guy's wife, all right? God wants your sexual relationship to be the way he created it, very good. Now, what is a very good sexual relationship? That depends on you guys, you know? There is no standard out there. In fact, in the context of intimacy with God, of connection and unity, so you guys are together, now you can figure out what you enjoy. But the bottom line is, you are enjoying it consistently. Amen. You are deciding consistently. You are being obsessed with the wife of your youth. This thing was written, I think, to an older guy, you know. Go to your wife or your youth, all right? Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah. It is, you know, our bodies change. Right. There are things we go through, ED, other things. You get put on blood pressure medicine, and you think, wow, I'm never going to have sex again. You know, but things will, you know, will start working. There's a lot of things that come up, but there's stuff that can be done. Right. Start with intimacy with God. Start with the connection. Start with the unity. And see what flowers, but have it. Take plenty of time for your lovemaking. You know, take time with her. Take time with the foreplay so that she can enjoy it. Don't make it like, oh man, I'm just tired from work. Let's go ahead and have at it. And, you know, I'm going to go to bed. That's not intimate. That's just, you know, getting gratified. God wants you to enjoy sex. He wants your wife to enjoy sex.
Amen.
He wants her it to be pleasurable for her too. So whatever that takes, sometimes you need to talk and get questions and get some help in that area. You always be aware of scars, of health, and of the stage of life. The rule for the sexual relationship is whatever is mutually satisfying. Why is that? Because see, you're intimate with God, you're connected, you're unified, so why wouldn't it be mutually satisfying? But if you're not connected with God, then it's all about you. If you're not really connected with her, it's all about you. If you're not unified, it's all about you. So guess what? We're going to have one frustrated old boy and angry, just sitting there thinking that life is a bummer and then you die. You miss the whole thing. You know, you miss the relationship with God, everything. But if you got that aligned, then what is mutually satisfying? Your wife may have scars from past relationships or maybe abuse. You may have scars. Every time I study the Bible with a man, I expect there to have been sexual abuse as a child. That's how prevalent it is today. It's just, you know, it's an evil world.
Yeah.
Now, Christ can heal these things up, but sometimes there are things that you're feeling. Don't, you know, talk about it. Again, all the whole intimacy arc has been built. So the natural thing, you can be, you can talk, you can get help, and it can be mutually satisfying. There are things that happen. People go through stage of life. You know, women, the vaginal dryness, or men, the ED. The, you know what? There are things that can be done.
Yeah.
There are things. And it'll be mutually satisfying. If that's your goal, and if everything else has been connected. Let me give you just a couple of books that are good and have helped us and helped, you know, a lot of people. Of course, you have, some of you did read The Act of Marriage. I don't know if everyone has. Before you were married, that's not a bad thing to go back over. They even added a chapter for people over 60. So they keep updating it, all right? That's great. So Act of Marriage, Tim LaHaye. Also, The Act of Marriage Over 40, Tim LaHaye. There was one, I don't know if it's still in print, but I really liked how they did it, called Pure Pleasure, by two couples, the Farrells and the Conways. Really, really, I enjoyed that. That was great. And then another one is Sexual Intimacy and Marriage. By, I don't know how to pronounce her name, Cutrer, C-U-T-R-E-R, and I think Glah, G-L-A-H is the other one. I think that's it. But those are some that you guys, you know, can read that'll be very helpful. And then pray together all the time. That's one thing. Every day, almost without fail. She actually was working on her class and I fell asleep last night, so we didn't last night. But Deb and I pray. We don't do it as like a little pill to take. We do it because we're intimate with God.
Amen.
And we get intimate with each other that way. Amen. That's life. And that's where it needs to be here. Amen. Does this stuff make sense?
Yes.
Okay. We have a couple of